This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. So you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. This time, we are with Sir Croakington. In a previous episode, it'll probably be a bit far down by the time this is out. We got the second gem for the Tal'Soloth, and we found the Cave of the Four Spirits. And then we went back there again, and we found a mysterious egg. Apparently, something has happened there. We went back to the cave, same as always, into the cave. You step into the cave and immediately move to the centre of the tall and broad stone chamber. The glow of your light spills over the uneven floor of the cave and splashes over the black egg, which is now about half Sir Croakington's size and the size of a human fist. Sir Croakington doesn't have that, being a toad and everything. The thin red wedges that crisscross the curious object seem to become more pronounced. You can use the Tal'Soloth again, but it doesn't seem to do anything. Pick up the egg. Pulled by an unseen force, watch the egg. You watch the egg for several minutes. And more than once, you believe you observe the small black red ridged object twitching ever so slightly. And that's it for now. Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. This episode is a continuation of our efforts to get the Staff of Bats to its maximum power. Now, previously we want us to have a look at this staff. We got two gems for it, one of which we just traded in, one of which we got by going past four ghosts who deliberately said, "Hey, don't mess with that staff, you get very, very cursed." And we said, "But I want to mess with that staff." So we smashed them, we got the second gem, and then we found this weird egg. And so we're going to the Withered Hills to check up on the egg again. The area known as the Withered Hills is a broad expanse of wooded slopes, dominated by a steep, rocky rise at its centre, that's covered with ancient petrified trees. Legends say a battle long ago between a powerful dragon and a master mage resulted in the petrification of the hardwood forest that once covered the hill. The trees that dot the surrounding hills are all stunted, and many of them have withered long before their time. The Withered Hills is a desolate, somewhat eerie place that you can almost imagine having served as the home of some wicked, long-forgotten beast. Make my way to the Cave of Four Spirits. The trek to the cave proves to be no easy task. The towering, rocky rise in the mist of the Withered Hills, its jagged, treacherous slopes covered with the petrified remains of ancient trees, offers no direct path to the two sharp outcroppings of stone that mark the entrance to the Cave of Four Spirits. Employing great caution, you begin a long and arduous ascent of the wise, picking a number, bonus of 80, 40 from woodmanship, 20 from agility, 10 from body, and 10 from spirit. Pick now. 168. It takes you nearly an hour to reach the mouth of the cave, but the climb passes without incident. More than once, you come close to losing your footing on the loose rock that characterised much of the wire parts of the base. But fortunately, Sir Crokinson is very small, so she doesn't actually fall that far. At last, winded from the ascent, you stand before the mouth of the cave. You stand before the narrow, jagged mouth of the cave that is known in many legends as the Cave of Four Spirits. From here, between two sharp outcroppings of rock, just below the summit of this treacherous rocky rise, you can survey most of the northern area of the Withered Hills. For as far as you can see, the rolling hills of stunted trees that characterise this desolate area dominate the landscape. Nothing stirs in deep gloom beyond the mouth of the cave. Well, I can actually enter the cave. You step into the cave and hurry over to where you last viewed the small black edge. Small black edge. As the glow of your light falls upon the curious object, you stun to the scrubber that the egg is now as big as Sir Crokington. The thin, red ridges that crisscross the surface of the strange egg have also grown, and donned an even deeper hue. Pick up the egg. No, I cannot pick up the egg. I can watch the egg. You watch the egg for several minutes, and more than once, you believe, you observe the small, black, red ridge object twitching ever so slightly, tend to pick up the egg. Leave the cave, enter the cave. Particular item is of use here, that'll be the Tau Saloth. Might as well use it again. I don't think it'll do anything, but use. You hold the Tau Saloth over the egg, and immediately the red ridge is crisscrossing its surface, emit a brilliant crimson glow. The glow fades rapidly. A deep sense of dread comes over you in the wake of your action with the staff. With a muddle of disjointed and unpleasant thoughts clouding your mind, you turn, make your way out of the cave. That might have been a bad idea, but this is as much as we can do for now. So, as in some time for me, but no time for you, we'll come back and see what the egg does next. And now I've climbed up to that there hill again. You step into the cave and move to the spot where you last looked upon the black egg, only to have your heart skip a beat as your eyes fall upon the strange object, which is now almost half the size of you. The crimson ridges that crisscross the strange egg seem to have broadened, and a sickly, grey ooze seeps from around their edges. You spend a few moments watching the large black egg, and are somewhat unnerved to note it is twitching constantly. Wait, it's not twice the size. Twice the size of you watching it, but it's about 12 times the size. Let's say 3 feet. Yeah, about 10 times the size of Sir Crokington, who is very small. Except when it's now too convenient to not be small. Anyway, that's enough for now. And we're going back then. It's been a while. We've done a lot of things in the interim, which you can find out about in previous episodes. Probably way too many things, because I've left this egg just unattended, doing who knows what. The trek to the cave proves to be no easy task. The towering, rocky rise in the midst of the Withered Hills, its ancient, treacherous slopes covered with the petrified remains of ancient trees, offers no direct path to the sharp outcroppings of stone that mark the entrance to the Cave of Four Spirits. Employing great caution, you begin a long and arduous ascent of the wise, picking a number, bonus of 80, 40 from woodmanship, 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from spirit,
no success. We're just going to see what happens. 142. Takes you nearly an hour to reach the mouth of the cave, but the climb passes without incident. More than once, you come close to losing your footing on the loose rock that characterises much of the higher parts of the Wise. But each time you're able to spring out of danger in time to prevent a nasty spill down the treacherous slope. Last, winded from the ascent. Yes, and with my back legs hurting a lot because of all the springing, you stand before the mouth of the cave. You stand before the narrow, jagged mouth of the cave that is known in many legends as the Cave of Four Spirits. From here, between the two sharp outcroppings of rock, just below the summit of this treacherous rocky Wise, you can survey most of the northern area of the Withered Hills. As far as you can see, the rolling hills of the stunted trees that characterise this desolate area dominate the landscape. Nothing stirs in the deep gloom beyond the mouth of the cave. Enter the cave. You step into the cave and move cautiously through the dark, your path lit by the pool of radiance spilling forth from your dependable light source. Since some of the illumination items you get are mentioned, I'm guessing there's some special code around here, so it changes. As you approach the black egg, which still rests in the middle of the broad chamber, you're shocked and dismayed to discover it's nearly tripled in size since you last laid upon it. The strange crimson-ridged object is now larger than a regular human, and thus 20 times larger than Sir Crokington, or something like that. Sir Crokington's size is unknown, and even if it was known, it's inconsistent. Swims a thick, pungent grey ooze, flows steadily from the edges of the red ridges that crisscross the surface of the egg. The egg now twitches almost perpetually, and now and again a violent shudder runs through the mysterious container. Okay, what is in that egg? I mean, it's so big now, how big's it gonna be? Whatever's in it gonna be when it's fully grown? Of course, I'm not going to let that happen. Unless it's a friend, of course. A friend who just happens to come from an egg. Because some friends do. Anyway, leave the cave. It will be... We'll see what happens again. I think we might be nearing the end now. Descend the Wise. And we're making our way back to Twythick. And not going to tell anyone about what's happening here. Because they won't be able to do anything anyway. And save, and that's it for now. And we're back there again. We've passed the check as before, and at last, winded from the ascent, you stand before the mouth of the cave. You stand before the narrow, jagged mouth of the cave that is known to many as the Cave of Four Spirits. From here, between two sharp outcroppings of rock just below the summit of this treacherous rocky Wise, you can survey most of the northern area of the Withered Hills. For as far as you can see, the rolling hills of stunted trees that characterise this desolate area dominate the landscape. Nothing stirs in the deep gloom beyond the mouth of the cave. Entering the cave, gripping your reliable light source tightly and exercising extreme caution with every step, you slowly move into the dark interior of the cave where the black egg lies. As you draw near to the strange object, you are once again in awe of the changes it has undergone since you last laid eyes upon it. The egg is now roughly 60 times your size, and its perpetual gentle twitches and occasional shudders are replaced by steady tremors. Small cracks have appeared on the surface of the egg, from which seeps the same
pungent grey hues that runs out from the edges of the crimson ridges that crisscross its surface. You're fearful it won't be long to whatever is inside the massive, trembling container. Makes its way out. So I can use an item here, that being the Taos off, but I think we've caused enough problems as it is, so we're not going to use it again. What is in there? Well, I guess we'll find out later. Perhaps in the next episode. But anyway, that's it for now. And I'm back again, going through the Withered Hills. To the Way of Cave of Four Spirits. Same check as last time. Bonus 80. 40 from Woodmanship. 20 from Agility. 10 for Body. 10 from Spirit. Pick now. 174. At last, winded the ascent, you stand before the mouth of the cave. You stand before the narrow, jagged mouth of the cave that is known in many legends as the Cave of Four Spirits. From here, between two sharp outcroppings of rock, just below the summit of this treacherous rocky wive, you can survey most of the northern area of the Withered Hills. For as far as you can see, the rolling hills of stunted trees that characterize this desolate area dominate the landscape. Nothing stirs in the deep gloom beyond the mouth of the cave. Enter the cave. With your heart pounding, and your thoughts racing, you cautiously step into the dark interior of the cave. As the pool of light spills over the middle of the broad chamber's uneven floor, your eyes widen, where the massive black egg was, lies nothing but shards of its thick shell, covered with layers of pungent grey ooze. It's finally hatched. And that's surely going to be a problem for someone. Half expecting to face whatever horror hatched from the nightmarish egg, you've not wildly thrust your light into the far corners of the cavernous chamber, only to discover, much to relief, that you're alone. A quick search of the shattered remains of the eggs turns up nothing of interest. And you're about to leave when your eyes are drawn to something scrawled on the wall just inside the cave mouth. You step closer and raise your light, revealing a single word written in what appears to be blood on the damp stone. Thrumbly, that's T-H-U-L-W-Y. I'm going to copy that because, well, I think there's someone I should ask about that. Probably the Guildmaster, because there is a person you can ask about anything. With little desire to linger in the cave, you commit the word to memory, or in my case, to the paste box, and step out into the welcome light of day. And then back to normal. Alright, I'm going to go to Trithic, explore the city. Blade Square, Burns the Frank the Square, small windows burning the Green Door, that is the Adventurer Collective, visit the Guildmaster, converse with the Guildmaster, funnily. The Guildmaster's eyes narrow, and for a moment he's silent. Then he smiles and nods his head. "Been a long time since I last heard that name spoken," he says, as if its sounding had stirred up some old memories. Frondly is a small village north of the city, the edge of one of the older forests. It's also the one place I know near which stands one of the ancient praying sentinels. Other than the one near Frondly, I'm not certain there are any of the nine to be found anywhere. I wish you luck on whatever endeavour might take you up that way. You thank the Guildmaster for the information he's been able to provide with you. I wonder if we shouldn't start immediately for the village. I probably should. Consider we've got something very, very big coming that way. and presumably very, very evil, considering it's somehow associated with the Tal Sanoth, which is just a weapon of sheer sadistic cruelty. You know, mostly to the people who wield it. A little bit of it spills over to the people you wield it against, but mostly against the people who wield it. Anyway, there's also a lore book entry for praying sentinels. We shall read that now. This took no time as far as Sir Crokington is concerned. The praying sentinels were 9 enchanting statues, each one resembling an armoured warrior knelting prayer that believed to have been created during the Age of Old One. It has long been thought the statues that once contained powerful magic that served to protect the world from demonic invasion. It is not known if any of the monuments remain standing. Well, it looks like one of them it does. Or at least it did a while back. Honestly, smashing one of these statues looks like the thing some giant egg beast would do. You know, just for the heck of it. So we better check there. Because I think smashing all... The guildmaster's eyes now. He's asked if you've yet been to the village. I can assure you, I don't know the nature of business there. But the village isn't far. But then the last of the praying sentinels is but a stone's throw from it. Perhaps you should go there and see for yourself. Stop. Alright, okay. I'll take your suggestion. And I will go. Western Tysa. Thrunley. And we're at a new place. This is also a safe location. Which is nice. Nestled between a broad expanse of open fields to its south and the thick arm of an ancient forest to its north, Thrunley is a small and respectable settlement whose inhabitants proudly proclaim they can trace their ancestors back as far as the founding of Twithic. I guess they've been very careful with their record keeping then. And haven't had any sort of disaster that's happened that's destroyed it. Because that can happen very easily. With no inn, tavern, or any other such public house in the village, Thrunley serves solely as the place where its few denizens, farmers and craftsmen, dutifully perform their daily toil and quietly retire with the setting of the sun. Oh, that seems dreary. They've no tavern! Someone should work on that! I will work on it myself, but I only get one tavern, and I've put it in the old North Wood. As you saw a few episodes back, well, because this is a podcast, not a YouTube video. If it was a YouTube video, you'd have saw it a few episodes back. But probably have heard it, because you've probably been listening to it, having it play in the background while you do something else. Which is as this should be. Because this is text-based, so you don't need to see anything. Yes, which is why it's very accessible. And an easy feeling comes over you while you stroll through the village, and you suddenly realise you have seen no other living soul in Thrunley. The entire village appears to be recently abandoned. Okay, I mean, it could just be a quirky village tradition, but I doubt that. I somehow think it's my fault for messing with the certain things I had no reason to mess with. That thing being the Tal Sanoth. And also it just makes narrative sense. Because it tends to be if something happens after something in a story, it happened because of something. You cast your gaze warily along the village's narrow main thoroughfare, towards the dark line of trees that form the edge of the forest to the north. According to what you learned from the guildmaster, it is in these woods that you will find the last of the remaining praying sentinels. the last remaining praying sentinel, and perhaps at least at last an answer to this dark, mysterious business, head into the forest. The tangled, ancient forest north of Frundley proves challenging to navigate. After several forced detours, once to avoid a wild bog, and several times to skirt nearly impenetrable thickets. And it must be really impenetrable if even Sir Crokington, who is very small, cannot get through them. You find yourself at the southern edge of a broad, rocky slope, staring down at the ancient stone monument that you entered the wood seeking. The base of the hill, covered in moss, and bearing the telltale marks of its ancient origins. I guess, lichen? I mean, if lichen could grow on it, that's a clear sign it's ancient. And also, perhaps just old styles. And just things they just don't do anymore. Stands a towering statue of an armoured warrior knelt in prayer, his head resting against the hilt of his sword. You are gazing upon what is perhaps the last of the praying sentinels. And that, I feel, if it is the last, I have this vague suspicion that if it falls, something very bad will happen. As you cautiously approach the cracked, moss-covered monument, a familiar sense of dread wells up from the pit of your stomach, as the tall, slender figure of a green-robed woman suddenly steps out from behind the praying sentinel. The woman's pale, green-hued skin and a thin set of curling horns protruding from the side of her head betray her non-human origin. You note a pair of talon-tipped leathery wings folded against her back. Your every instinct screams at you to flee immediately, but you find yourself unable to look away from her. The woman's eyes widen as her gaze falls upon Tausoloth, as she grins, revealing a mouthful of long, needle-like fangs. "You are wise to arrive, bearing such a gift," she says softly. "Let us see if you are willing to continue on the path of wisdom." The strange woman places her hand on the playing sentinel and gazes at the ancient monument. When the magic was new, in ages past they were most effective, she says softly. But there is no strength left in them now. Still, there remain guardians in this world, both numerous and powerful, who they are often not often in a form that many would recognise or appreciate. Only that your defeat of the spirits in the cave removed the one obstacle that for so long delayed my arrival. Well, yep, this is my fault. The thoughts immediately turned.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential, and the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, and durable details, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
To the cave of four spirits, and your battle with the ghost that lurked within the desolate lair. Your victory over the spirits in the cave gave you one of the black gems and is now affixed to the tip of the Tau's Tolof. It was also after that victory that the strange egg appeared. The device inside which the strange being was apparently delivered into this world. I shall give you a chance to spare your soul the torment he would surely face beneath my claws, snarls the woman, her demeanour rapidly worsening. Who, and those of my master, whom I doubt would as readily extend your pardon. And her master is Jowloff. The three-headed demon lord Jowloff is said to be a direct servant of Ixion. It is believed this towering monstrosity dwells somewhere in the vast, nightmarish Neverwall realm of Oxus. Now, that's something I want to check. I'm going to pause while I... No. It turns out that the demon that she works for is a different but rather similarly named demon to the one all the Kurund are serving. Give me the staff and you shall be rewarded. To defy my will is to defy that of my master. And I, Glorthlin, need what warn you of the peril attached to such a woe gesture. You have now little doubt that the winged, green-skinned woman standing before you, who has identified herself as Strawling Thin, is indeed one of the four legendary servants of Jowloff. Yep, still Jowloff. The demon lord who is said to have long ago forged Tau's Tolof. It appears that Jowloff and his minions are now keen to reclaim the weapon. So, I could give them the weapon, which I think is a bad idea, because, you know, demon and all that. Or I could just refuse the weapon, or I could attack her. No, refuse the offer. The demoness sneers and folds her thin, sinewy arms across her chest. She gazes at you for a moment and then unexpectedly grins, once again exposing the long, needle-like fangs crowding her jaws. Then perhaps you might prove your worthiness to wield such a weapon, she hisses. Tau's Tolof, the great corrupter, was not forged for mortal hands. Prove your mettle to me and my master, and you may be permitted to retain your precious staff. So I can agree to her terms, or I can attack. You know, I'm just going to check some things. Yeah. If you agree to her terms, you face some tough fights. If you attack her, you face one really tough fight, but you get more rewards at the end of it. So I'm going to attack her. Also, you know, demon. And, you know, banishing demons, that's kind of my thing. Where is the demon scourge? Must have stored it somewhere. Yeah, pity, but oh well, Spruce Special will be enough. Attack her. The one who bears such arrogance in the face of immortality is not worthy of the Master's staff, cries the demoness as she nimbly leaps several feet to the right, lying spryly on her feet and easily dodging initial assault. You will now know terror, The demoness unhinges her jaws and releases a piercing shriek as the broad, talon-tipped, leathery wings folded against her back slowly spread outwards. Her greenish skin writhes as the smooth flesh is rapidly replaced by the coarse coat of emerald scales. The mighty, glorn thin servant of Jatwoth hisses viciously as she leaps towards you, her powerful wings beating the air and her deadly black claws outstretched before her. You bravely prepare to reach to meet the attack of the demoness. It's glorn and thin. Yeah, we've already read a lore book entry. Begin combat. I swing my club. She swipes with her deadly claws. She has a lot of health, as you would sort of expect from a greater demoness. The touch of your enemy sends a deathly chill the length of your body for 12 damage. Another again for 17 damage. I'm ahead, because this is like most fights in this game, it's a 3+. Now, when this originally came out, that would probably not happen, because it was 175 MR. And even with Demon Scourge equipped, that would probably still not be a 3+. Deathly Chill for 9. Keep bashing. What if I use the power of gating? Phase gate. You gate yourself directly into the enemy's blind spot. You dodge your enemy's attack. Now, not phase gate. I shall instead summon an entity. You summon a lesser level entity. The lesser level entity decimates your enemy. 5 melee waiting this round doesn't really help. Lesser level energy mercilessly attacks your foe, decimates your enemy for 22 damage, and I do my damage. So yeah, this can be good. It can be good to summon entities. 16 damage. Touch of Chill for 15 damage to me. And this is one of the times where the battle text is so long you have to scroll to see it all. Which is impressive in a way. And that's the last of the lesser Neville entity. Lesser Neville entity is probably going to receive quite a bollocking once it gets back for attacking a demon far above its pay grade. Now a Neville entity. That's the MR rating. Decimates for 15. No, one more! Lesser Neville entity. 18 damage, smash your wallets at 22 damage, attack regularly for 25. She's very nearly done, very, very nearly, 1%, and slain. 780 experience points. 415 of that going towards gating, which is pretty nice, I guess. And also 2,048 experience to general to be added to the great big pile, which is currently over 400,000. Just in a big, big pile. A big, big pile of experience for whenever I might need it. Maybe I arbitrarily decide to level something up. Maybe I just like having a big, big pile of things. Gorthlin staggers backwards and topples to the ground. You're about to leap forward to make certain she does not rise again when the mighty demoness suddenly vanishes. Dismayed, fearing she may have escaped defeat, you rush forward to the spot where she fell and examine the ground. But for no trace of the demoness remains. You are indeed worthy to carry the master's staff, hisses a voice to your right. You spin in the direction of the sound and find yourself nearly face to face with the demoness. She appears to bear no signs of the recent battle. And the thick emerald scales that once covered her torso have once again been replaced by smooth green skin. Beyond all hope, you're worthy. May you serve the staff well. A low, pulsing hum suddenly fills the air, the ominous sound sending a chill the length of your spine. Four swirling back portals open behind the demoness, two on each side of the praying sentinel. Four pulsing, shadowy orbs hurtle out of the inky depths of the vortex and shriek towards you. You instinctively attempt to spring away from the spears, but they quickly change course and in unison pass right through you. 289 points of damage. That leaves me with 1 SP, because it always would. Because apparently, she's just so far above me, she can just do that. You collapse to the ground as everything goes black. Your mind is filled with morbid visions. 2,048 experience to all skills and powers. Woo, that's very nice. Very, very nice indeed. The vision of a cloaked stranger on a wainswept street passes in and out of your thoughts. 8,192 experience to necromancy, which is also very nice. Especially when you consider that even at level 74, it only takes me 16,800 to get to the next level. So in most circumstances, that will get you at least about halfway to the next level. Possibly more. Anyway. Means I'll be able to gain a couple of levels after this, because it's been building up for a while. It's now at 37,337 experience. A smiling face, weaved in golden hues, floats towards you out of the darkness. The smile transforms into a wicked grin, and the face suddenly retreats. 1,024 experience to general. Pretty nice. You awake with a start and painfully regain your feet. Much to relief, there is no longer any sign of the demoness. The pulsing black spears or the four portals she opened. Apart from the weariness in your limbs and the dull ache coursing through your body, there is no evidence to suggest that she was ever here at all. After taking a few minutes to search the area, including a close examination of the praying sentinel, you at last conclude you are indeed alone in the forest. Well, other than bugs, of course, but Sir Croakington doesn't care about bugs. He just eats them. With no reason or desire to remain here even a moment longer, you turn and make your way out of the woods. You've nearly reached the edge forest when you suddenly become aware of something around your throat. Your hand shoots to your neck, and your fingers fall upon a cold piece of iron dangling from a thin chain. To examine what is hanging around your neck, view your list of items and look under arm and neck section. Well, at last you're ready to continue, you step out of the woods and make your way into the village. So arm and neck. I am wearing, not just having, but wearing Gorlin Thin's eye. Okay. Let's have a look at this. It's got a melee rating of 2, stamina points of 3. So that's not why you equip it. Its stats are pretty modest, especially for something as deep into the game as this. one aura. A small opaque black gem is fitted into the centre of this ornate iron amulet. This strange item appeared round your neck following your defeat of Gorlin Thin in the forest north of Thunley. Equipping this amulet will augment the powers of the Tau Saloth. Right, into the village. Upon your return to Thornley, you are startled and pleased to find the village no longer deserted. The citizens of the small outlying settlement are busy going about their daily affairs, and appear to have no knowledge of the dire events that so recently took place in the forest to their north. As you move through the village, you stop and ask several people whether one was when you previously arrived in Thumbly only a small while ago. After receiving several questioning glances and a few wild eyed responses, you conclude the villagers are oblivious to their own disappearance. With no desire to raise any unnecessary concern, you wisely decide to refrain from any further inquiries into this strange and ultimately unexplained matter. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Following now back to the village screen, which is a place you can keep going back to, but there's no particular reason to. Following the departure of the demon Gorlin Thin, the small village is once again bustling with life. All indications are the citizens of Thornley have no recollection of either their sudden disappearance or equally sudden reappearance. And you can't help but feel this is probably for the best. Yes, probably is. Okay. And that's that. One more thing to do. Let's just tell the Guildmaster what we've done. Alright. Terrific. Explore the city. Blade Square. Buildings. Windowless building with the green door. Into the Adventure Collectionist. Visit the Guildmaster. Converse with the Guildmaster. Finally again. The Guildmaster listens to your account of your battle with the Demoness and your stunning victory over the mighty Glorthlin. When you finish your tale, he steps forward and lays his hand on your shoulder. The strange but pleasant sensation passes through you as the Guildmaster's hand presses firmly into your shoulder. And that's another 1,024 experience to general. Well, it all adds up. It's my simple pleasure to impart to you to some of what I've learned along the way, he says, a faint smile creasing the lower and only visible portion of his face. Well done again, Sir Croakington. And I guess that's that. Well, actually, let's equip the... No, it's two-handed. So I'm going to unequip the glittering ice shield. Equip the Tau Sloth. Current stats are... With a necromancy of 74. And... With a necromancy of 74, both gems... And the augmentation of Gorlin Thin's eye... It provides a melee weighting of 34. And one aura and one spirit. I think it probably did that before. It has all, as you would expect, it's magical. It has the power of the swarm of bats, which I think I've read out briefly. I think during the start of Proving Ground 6, I equipped it just for the fun of it. Or I kept it equipped for the fun of it. Anyhow, as I said before, I have enough experience to level up necromancy in a couple of times, so I will. Train. Alright, now necromancy is level 76.
Has that changed the stats of the Tausof? No. Okay, I'm going to save and see how high I can get it if I throw everything into training necromancy. Like, I just dump all my general experience into it, but then I'll unsave because I've no particular. The Tausof has been kind of ruined by power creep. I mean, when it first came out, and for many, many years afterwards, it could be the most powerful equipment you could get if you went all in on it. But now, not so much. Because amongst other things, we've got the Spruce Smasher, which can provide 35 damage and can be and allows you to have a wing and everything. A Spruce Smasher, when I actually equip it. Yeah, no. They're 35. No, anyway. Powers. No. Save. Alright, I'm going to raise up Necromancy as far as I can. 81. 88. 90. I can get it all the way up to 91. To level up to 92 takes 44,800 experience. Because the XP you need to level up gets pretty crazy at higher levels. It's around about 100,000 to get to level 100 from level 99. Anyway, looking at the Tausof again, equip. It now has a melee rating of 40. And that's pretty much as powerful as it can get. And my current stats are 371. Yeah, even with maxed out stats, it's still going to be behind because I lose the incredibly powerful shield and the incredibly powerful neck slot. But it's really cool, so you might just go for it, because you're the Bat Wizard. Or just to constantly bonk Tausof on the head with it, just to rub it in his stupid bat face. Anyway, I'm going to quit now, so I can get back all that general experience. So it can just be in the big pile, the great big pile of general experience. Anyway, that is everything that you could possibly do with the Tausof, pretty much. Other than bashing things with it. Neck armor. Iron frog armor. Yeah, that's probably going to be what I'll wear. I don't seem to have anything particularly powerful otherwise. Iron frog. Yeah, that brings my stats back to where they are. So anyway, next time, as I previously said, I should be exploring. I'm going back to systematically going through all the areas, and I will explore Swarway Billabong because it's there, and also because it's fun to say. But until then, I shall rest at Stormfield, right next to the Merc. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
New deals on last-minute holiday finds just dropped at Lowe's. Save $600 on a Whirlpool fingerprint-resistant stainless steel side-by-side refrigerator. Plus, Milo's Rewards members save $50 on an Allen & Roth Brighton pull-down kitchen faucet. Your choice of finishes for $79. Lowe's knows deals. Offers valid 12/12 through 12/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.